Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. Thank you so much for checking out Behind the Arc, whether you're doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. Tennessee gets an 89-81 win over Georgia. Keon Johnson with a monster dunk. You will hear the Vol Network's call of that play from Bob Kessling and Burt Bertelkamp later on in the podcast. Jaden Springer goes off for a game-high 30 points, and Tennessee has four players score in double figures as it puts up a really impressive offensive performance without Eve Pons in the lineup, and Tennessee moves to 14-4 on the season. Be talking about that and a lot more here on Behind the Arc. So let's get right into it. Tennessee started shooting really well from three-point range. It got off to a fast start. You didn't see Tennessee really go through a ton of droughts like we've seen in other SEC games at times this year. And I think that was really encouraging for Tennessee. And you saw the offense slow up a little bit at times in the second half. That allowed Georgia to get back into the game. Georgia really started to speed things up when it got down big. Tennessee led by as many as 22 at one point. And whenever Georgia started to make a move, whenever they were able to cut that deficit to 11, 10, 9, Tennessee came up with a bucket. And so it's not the best performance defensively in the second half that you would have liked to have seen from Tennessee. But in a game that's going to get sped up a little bit, in a game where Rick Barnes wants his team to run more, and we've talked about that, Rick Barnes wants more tempo out of his team, you're going to get more possessions and teams are going to score more points. And so I think for Tennessee, yes, ideally should not have let Georgia back into the game the way that it did, but did a good job of getting buckets when it absolutely needed them and got offense from everybody on the floor. As we mentioned, Springer finished with a game-high 30 points. Santiago Vescovi with 19 on 4 of 9 shooting. Josiah Jordan-James, 18 points on 5 of 8 shooting, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. Vescovi also 8 of 8 from the charity stripe, by the way. And then Keon Johnson with 11. Fulkerson with 4. Victor Bailey Jr. with 7, just 2 of 10 from the field and 1 of 8 from 3-point range. But for Tennessee, it's a nice blend of being able to go inside and drive when they needed to. The guards came up with big buckets. And again, you're talking about 4 total points from your front court. EJ Anasicki was held scoreless. John Fulkerson with just 4 points on 2 of 3 shooting. But Tennessee was able to get in tight. Springer, Johnson, Vescovi, James, you saw those guys getting buckets around the rim. And that's what makes the offense work so much better when you've got guards that are more than just one-trick ponies on the perimeter. And so for Tennessee, I thought its ball movement was excellent. You saw 16 assists from Tennessee, 17 turnovers as things got sped up, and that was mainly due to some sloppy play there in the second half as Georgia was coming back in. But Tennessee defensively in the first half really built itself a nice cushion. Tennessee led 44-26 after the first 20 minutes. And ultimately, the Vols shot 52% from the field, 10 of 24 from three-point range, so nearly 42% from three, and then 25 of 29 from the free-throw line. So Tennessee, an excellent free-throw shooting performance, and holding Georgia to just 45% from the field, 26% from three-point range. And the Vols being more competitive in the rebounding battle, forcing 10 steals, getting good rim protection, having 4 blocks despite Pons not being in the lineup. I thought it was pretty encouraging for Tennessee, and it was known before the game that Pons was not going to play. He came and did the shoot around, was kind of testing out that knee, and ultimately did not play after he took that hard fall against Kansas a couple of Saturdays ago, played in Tennessee's next 2 games, but ultimately unable to go on Wednesday night. And Tennessee did an excellent job for the offense to pick up at a really good pace without him. So Tennessee moves up a little bit in the offensive efficiency rankings in KenPom. Tennessee up to 62 now. That's still the lowest of any team in the top 40 of the KenPom rankings, aside from Oklahoma State, which is ranked 70th. Tennessee ranks 2nd in the defensive efficiency rankings and 12th overall in adjusted efficiency margin. So for Tennessee, Good performance overall. Jaden Springer has just really gone off in these last two games. You saw the performance that he had over the weekend against Kentucky. He and Keon Johnson both, as they combined for 50 points, and then Springer with 30 points on 9 of 11 shooting against Georgia. And that's the type of performance that I think we really are capable of getting a little bit more consistently out of Springer. May not be 30 points every night, but you've seen him put up 20 plus points in each of his last two games. And his ability to drive, like I've said time and time again, I think he's the best finisher on the team. I think he can show that he's got range. He went 3 of 4 from the outside. And if Tennessee starts getting that sort of production out of its 2 5-star freshman guards, it's going to open things up on the inside for Fulkerson. It's going to make Pons much more lethal. Remember, his previous 4 games before the Kentucky game on Saturday, he was averaging 15 points a game over his previous 4. So you've seen Pons start to come alive offensively, and now you know that you always have Viscovi as a potential threat. Victor Bailey Jr. can get hot coming off the bench. And then Josiah Jordan-James, he explodes for 18 points with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals, 2 blocks, just continuing to do everything for Tennessee. Josiah Jordan-James may not always show up in the stat line, but one of Tennessee's most valuable players, if not their most valuable player, with everything that he's able to do with his versatility. Viscovi, you know, can go off. Fulkerson can erupt for big plays. And even with Fulkerson just getting 4 points, it's 4 points on 3 shots. It was overall an efficient 4-point night for him. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, a block, only 2 turnovers, only 2 personal fouls, which, you know, that's going to make Rick Barnes happy with Fulkerson staying out of foul trouble. If he's going to be your best front court player with Pons not being there, John Fulkerson picking up 2 fouls in 36 minutes, you'll take that any night, even if it means Fulkerson's only getting 3 shots. So Tennessee defeats Georgia 89-81 as the Vols improve to 14-4. They will face LSU on Saturday. LSU picking up a win over Mississippi State 94-80 on Wednesday night. But the play of the night, Keon Johnson with a monster tomahawk slam. You will hear Bob Kessling and Bertelkamp's call and reaction on the other side next. I'm Joel Silverberg. You're listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer have really come alive for Tennessee, especially in these last two games. 50 combined points against Kentucky on Saturday, 41 combined points for Tennessee on Wednesday night against Georgia, combining to go 14 of 22 from the field, 4 of 5 from 3, and Springer went 9 of 12 from the free throw line, had a combined 6 rebounds in this game, 5 assists. They are continuing to do more and more for Tennessee, and if these sort of performances start to become the norm, Tennessee really can get back into the conversation of moving beyond the first or second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I know there were Final Four hopes at one point. I don't know if expectation was really the right word, because I don't know if there was ever a point in time this season where I really looked at Tennessee like a full-blown top four team. I think they were in that conversation for a while when the defense was playing well and they were getting off to a good start in SEC play, especially after the Missouri win at the end of December. But I don't think it was a foregone conclusion. The only teams that I really feel comfortable saying should have a Final Four national championship expectation are Gonzaga and Baylor. And it's pretty much been that way the entire season, assuming Baylor ever plays basketball again. Let's hope so. But I think for right now, those are easily the best two teams in college basketball. Tennessee just outside the top 10 in the KenPom rankings. You've got Michigan at 3, Illinois at 4. They were supposed to play on Thursday, and that game got postponed, which sucks. Iowa is 5th, despite having the defense ranked 120th in the adjusted efficiency rankings. They picked up a nice win over Rutgers on Wednesday night. But the big play for Tennessee and Georgia was Keon Johnson, this monster slam that he had, which was unbelievable. You're going to hear the play, the call from Bob Kessling, and the reaction from Kessling and VFL Burt Bertelkamp. Here are those guys on the Vol Network.
Johnson down low, it goes to Fulkerson. Fulkerson to Johnson, down the lane, it's slammed with one hand. A windmill slam by Keon Johnson.
That's an unbelievable dunk.
49-28.
What a play by Keon. I mean, he just kept going up, and threw it down. His head was even with the rim.
It was a windmill slam flying down the lane.
In
what
traffic.
A replay, yeah. Man,
that was nasty.
That's unbelievable. Great stuff. And a fantastic play. Tom Hart on ESPN, the SEC network, was saying, oh my goodness. Jimmy Dykes chimed in and said, oh my goodness, doesn't do it justice. It was an unbelievable dunk, an unbelievable play. If you haven't seen the video, go back and check it out. That's just the type of play that really electrifies a team. The bench was fired up. Players couldn't believe it. And it's always fun when you get to be a part of that highlight. You had the Jordan Bowden dunk from last year. Admiral Schofield had a nice baseline dunk against Kentucky a couple years ago. He had the big slam after the steal on the sideline against Georgia in the last game of the season, in a game that helped Tennessee claim a share of the SEC regular season championship a few years back. And then in the SEC tournament quarterfinals 2 years ago, he had that monster jam over Robert Woodard, who's now, both guys are now in the NBA. And that was the one where Grant Williams is on the sideline pretending to pass out as Eve Pons is holding him up. And there's been some really, really nice dunks for Tennessee over the years. I don't know which one's the best. That one was pretty epic. I think Schofield over Woodard is my favorite. Just for me, my personal favorite. The one that he had against Georgia the year before was pretty fun, because that one kind of put the nail in the coffin for Georgia in that game. But it's another dunk highlight for Tennessee that we've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. And we could go back beyond these last several years and find some pretty fun plays and highlights for Tennessee. So whatever you think your favorite dunk is for Tennessee here in recent years, I think that one's definitely going to be towards the top of the list. Tom Hart was suggesting maybe it was the best one. I don't know. For me, it ultimately depends on taste, but Admiral Schofield leaping practically from the free throw line to go over Robert Woodard and just absolutely shoving the basketball down his throat and down the rim, I thought was insane. So whatever your favorite is, there's a lot to choose from, and I don't think you can really go wrong, because Tennessee continues to add to a highlight reel that's been getting pretty lengthy now here during the Rick Barnes era. And I think that's really a testament to the job that Rick Barnes has done getting the talent to come in that he has over his tenure at Tennessee. And we're talking about 3 5-star guards all on the roster at the same time. The first several years that Barnes was here, there weren't any 4-stars on the roster. It was a bunch of 3-star guys, and those 3-star guys ended up winning a share of the SEC and then became a 2-seed in the tournament the year after that. So unbelievable stuff from Keon Johnson. Wanted to play that call for you from Bob Kessling and Burt Bertelkamp. Those guys do a great job on the Vol Network, and you'll hear them again this upcoming Saturday against LSU. LSU, by the way, the 30th ranked team in the KenPom rankings, 6 in offense, 148 in defense, 76 in adjusted tempo, would lead you to believe that could be a tough test for Tennessee, as these faster paced teams have at times struggled, that have caused Tennessee to struggle. Now, Georgia ranks in the top 20 in adjusted tempo, and now at the same time, they don't rank in the top 50 in offense. So makes it a little bit different there. It also helps when Tennessee's offense plays as well as it did. But for Tennessee to be in a fast-paced game and have its offense play well, Georgia's defense is not great. But I think that builds Tennessee some confidence going into a matchup that typically I would look at it saying, man, I don't feel good about this because of how Tennessee has done against fast-paced teams. But the way that Tennessee performed and has performed really in its last game and a half of basketball, I feel pretty confident about the Vols going into this game against LSU, and that's going to be a tough matchup for Tennessee, but I still like, especially if Johnson and Springer are continuing to play as well as they have these last two games, I like Tennessee's chances to be able to go down and get a win. LSU coming off a 94-80 win over Mississippi State. Cam Thomas continues to just have an unbelievable freshman season, 25 points on 9 of 16 shooting. Then you've got Darius Days. He had a double-double, 16 points, 11 rebounds. Javonte Smart with a double-double, 22 points, 11 assists. So contributing a lot of offense there. And a game where LSU shot 61% from the floor, 45% from three-point range. So the offense we know can be lethal. It can also be very up and down. And we've seen LSU struggle at times with teams that it really should have beaten. They struggled in the second half against SIU Edwardsville. They lost to St. Louis early on back in the season. You saw them at times not put away teams. When they played against Nicholls State, they looked very, very spotty. Lost to Florida, got killed by Alabama, lost to Kentucky, which did not look good. You know, Kentucky, we know how bad Kentucky is this season, just 4-7 in SEC play. had a chance to win the SEC Big 12 Challenge game against Texas Tech, blew that game late, and then lost to Alabama again last week. So getting the win over Mississippi State after having that Florida game postponed, I think was really good for LSU. And now two teams that probably feel like they're playing some good basketball this week are going to go head-to-head down in Baton Rouge on Saturday afternoon. That game is set to tip off at 2 o'clock. You can hear pregame coverage starting at 1:30 right here on The Sports Animal, and we are looking forward to it. We'll keep you posted. We'll have another Behind the Arc episode for you after that game concludes. What else happened in the SEC? We'll recap that really fast before we conclude today's edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg, the Behind the Arc podcast on The Sports Animal. So after Missouri upsets Alabama over the weekend and hands them their first loss of the season, a game that Missouri was fortunate to survive after giving up a 21-2 run in the last 6 minutes to Alabama, Missouri goes out and lays an egg against Ole Miss. The Tigers lose 80-59 on Wednesday night in just what was a terrible performance for Missouri. They shot 48% from the field, and 42% from three. And if you had told me that, I would have thought, Missouri should have a really nice chance to win this game. But just 19 rebounds for the Tigers. Ole Miss got a ton of extra possessions. They shot 57% from the field, 8 of 21 from three, and out rebounded Missouri 34-19. Both teams committing just 12 turnovers. So that rebounding battle piles up the extra possessions for Ole Miss, and the Rebels take advantage of it. Devontae Shuler with another nice performance, 15 points for him. And then for Ole Miss, it is now 6-6 in conference play, 11-8 on the season, and Missouri takes a step back when it really had a chance to gain some ground in the SEC race. And I still think that Alabama, it's their race to lose. They're 3.5 games ahead of everybody at 11-1. Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU all at 7-4. Missouri now at 6-4 after that loss, along with Florida, and then Ole Miss is next in line at 6-6. So just a bizarre performance there from Missouri, having just jumped into the top 10 in the AP poll. Alabama needed to hold off South Carolina 81-78 on Tuesday. Arkansas, just a wild finish against Kentucky, 81-80 over the Wildcats. Kentucky hits a three-pointer to take the lead. Arkansas gets the lead back with 4 seconds to go off a foul. And then Kentucky turns it over at half court and doesn't even get a game-winning shot off. And that seems like the most Kentucky ending ever. So Kentucky now 5-13 on the season. Auburn beats Vanderbilt 73-67. Sharif Cooper with 19 points. And that could be a really tough game for Tennessee later on towards the end of the season, with just how well Auburn has been offensively at times with Cooper coming back into the lineup. Vanderbilt was really good defensively in the first half. Auburn turned it on in the second half, able to put Vanderbilt away in that one. So Tennessee upcoming this weekend will take on LSU at 2 o'clock. You can catch that game starting at 1:30 with pregame coverage right here on The Sports Animal. Vanderbilt takes on Mississippi State at 1. That's when Auburn will face Kentucky. Alabama gets Georgia at 3:30. Missouri takes on Arkansas at 4. Ole Miss gets South Carolina at 6. Texas A&M meets Florida at 8:30. And of course, the Volunteers taking on the LSU Tigers at 2 o'clock down in Baton Rouge. I appreciate you taking a chance to listen to the Behind the Arc podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.